My name is James Sagerton. This is the July 11th, 2023 Pacifica National Finance Committee. We believe we have quorum, and I'm convening the meeting and asking the chair to take the roll. Our call?
Secretary will take the call. All right, please answer up when you hear your name. Sharon Adams.
Here.
Teresa Allen. Elizabeth Von Gunten.
Here.
Kamau Harris.
Here.
Julie Hewitt.
Here.
Kim Kaufman.
Here.
R. Paul Martin here. James McFadden. Dawn Kelly McPherson. James Sagerton.
Here.
Okay, that's seven, and you have a quorum.
Very good. Thank you, R. Paul. Okay, that takes us to adopting the agenda. I will read the agenda, and then we will see about what to do. So the agenda is 1, convene the meeting, 2, roll call, 3, adopt agenda, 4, minutes. That's a 5-minute item. 5 is review of the Pacifica Affiliates Network, or PAN, FY23 budget and actuals with PAN manager Ursula Rudenberg and PAN business manager Ruth Wiedemeyer with Q&A for 30 minutes. Number 6 is a report from the executive director for 30 minutes. Number 7 is a review of financials for the period ending April 30th, 2023, for 30 minutes. 8 is consolidating bank accounts for 10 minutes. And 9 is adjourned no later than 10:15 p.m. Are there any additions, changes, discussion on the agenda? Hearing none, is there any objection to the agenda? Hearing none, the agenda is adopted. And that brings us to the minutes. Our Paul, I know we have minutes, and I just want to say that there were excellent minutes. A report with some historic value was included, and you got all the main points. It was very well done. Thank you, R. Paul.
Okay.
Sharon for
okay.
Staff.
Go ahead. Let's hear the
minutes, Sharon.
Okay. I move that we approve the minutes of the June 27th, 2023 NFC meeting.
Okay. Sharon, I'll take that as now there's a motion on the floor, and I'll recognize you on your request for the stack.
Okay. Yes, sorry. I just somehow thought the motion had been made. I have a couple comments of things that I think should be added to the minutes. Yes, I thought they were basically the John Amalia part was good, but regarding the executive director's report, I think we should add the information that the aged payables are at 2.3 million. Pacifica has not made 3 EIDL payments of 8,000 each, and that Pacifica doesn't have the funds to pay the auditor, because those are all things that were said in the meeting and were not included in the minutes.
They're looking fast here, and I rapidly see aged payables, 2.3 million. And also, let's see, moving fast here, about the audit, the executive director said on a scale of 0 to 10, we're at about 8.5 to 9 confidence that we're prepared for it. Also,
prepared,
some things.
We don't have the money for it. And I didn't see the part about the aged payables. I'm sorry. I don't see that on here.
Oh. Okay. Let's go look at that. The paragraph begins, in answer to a question, the executive director, and it It goes partway down there. Let's see. It's the second paragraph of report from the executive director. Now, some of these things just are an absolute repeat from the previous meeting. So when things get, you know.
Oh, no, I see it now. I see it. I did not read it before. I see the $2.3 million. Sorry, I see that now. Okay, but I don't see the part about the I don't see the part about the three EIDL payments not being made or about the not having funds to pay the auditor.
Well, okay, as I was saying, some of these things are repeated, and when the stuff gets repetitious, I think it's best to not just put in the repeated stuff all the time. I mean, that was in the previous meeting.
I don't see how the three payments to EIDL could have been in the previous because, okay, I haven't read the previous ones in that detail, so I'm just telling you about this past meeting. I think they should be included even if it was in previous meeting notes.
Well, Sharon, the minutes are really only for things that happen in the meeting. RPAL is kind of, I don't know the detailed rules of minutes, but he's saying if something was in a previous meeting, he's not necessarily always repeating it, even though it occurred in a meeting. But I think at the time of our last meeting, it was two EIDL payments that had been missed. Oh, can we ask Stephanie? Stephanie, was it two or three?
Two.
That's what I thought.
Okay, two.
So it's
okay,
two, but
and,
so.
Well, okay.
Do you want the two? You want the two? The number two in there. Yeah.
Okay, that could be true also. I don't know, but I definitely know that I had not heard previously that we didn't have the funds to pay the auditor, and I think that is an important fact that should be in the minutes.
Well, would you be satisfied if you checked the previous minutes and found that it was noted there?
Beth, to the staff.
Okay, hold on one second, Beth.
I guess we should approve these minutes then until that happens.
Let me go to Beth. She just requested the stack. Go ahead, Beth.
Thank you. I recognize that some things may be reported repeatedly as time wears on, but that each report at each of our meetings every couple weeks occurrence, I would hope reflects the sort of a snapshot in time that while it may have been the case that we didn't have the funds to cover the cost of an audit at the previous meeting, I would hope that we would then indicate at the current meeting whether we were finally able to make that payment or not. Were we still stuck in the limbo waiting for a way to find a way to pay? So that I don't mind recording what might appear to be repetitive items like that, because I mean, minutes are for people who come after us and are trying to figure out what happened and how they got to where they're at. And they shouldn't have to dig down through more than, the current, whatever single set of minutes they're looking at to know what happened then. They shouldn't have to refer back to minutes from two or three times ago. So I don't have any problem with it. Doesn't cost anything to include that information, and I don't have anything against it. So that's just my perspective.
Let me respond. Thank you, Beth. Let me respond by saying that, technically minutes are not supposed to include discussion. They're not supposed to include anything but actions that are taken, motions that are made, who made them. Those are the official rules for minutes. You can go the extra mile, which RPAL is doing when reports are being made and in Q&A. But I think if we start requiring him to report every detail that was given in Q&A after a report, then the minutes become a huge volume. And that's quite onerous on a secretary, and it's not really required for minutes. And RPAL, you wanted to say something?
Yeah. Okay. I use various ways of rendering things here. I have macros and I have autocorrect that makes it so I type in a couple of letters and a whole couple of words come out. And I distinctly remember having a problem with my idle stuff that does that, so that it prints out the whole thing and other stuff like that. But I distinctly remember having a problem with that and getting it, putting it in the minutes, and it's not here. I search for idle, and I am not finding the IDL in these minutes. And it's kind of puzzling, and I wonder if a piece of this got chopped out.
Well, that being the case, do you mind putting that back in a revised version?
Let me see. Well, I don't have a problem putting stuff in, but we're going to need to decide exactly what to put in. And I'm looking back and forth here.
I hate to suggest this, but might you go back to the original recording?
Sharon, please. Sharon, for the stack, please.
I hear you, Sharon. Let me just finish this question with Arpal. Arpal, I mean, since the minutes are supposed to show what happened in the meeting, you know, I don't want to give you extra homework, but
yeah.
Should you go back to the recording and see what actually happened?
Well, I would use my notes.
Okay, that's
I write
okay.
stuff down during this whole meetings. That's why
I know
sometimes
do.
I'm not so
do.
Fast.
Thank goodness you do.
What we could do, I suppose we could postpone this, and I can go back and look at my notes and see what happened there. I don't. It's very strange. I mean, somehow, I mean, I really remember having to wrestle with the idle thing. My idle macro and some other stuff. And I wonder if something got wiped out late in this process. Okay. So maybe we should just, we could postpone the minutes to next time, I suppose.
Well, that's a thought. Let's go back to Sharon. She asked for the stack.
That's what I was going to suggest. We should just postpone it because we only have 5 minutes on the agenda for this item.
Okay. I think that's a good point. And we've got some guests waiting, and I didn't anticipate this. So, Arpal, you want to make an amendment to your motion?
It's not an amendment. I moved to postpone.
Okay, it's just a substitute, or it's a whole different thing. What do we do with the motion that's on the floor?
If we pass this, it's postponed to the next meeting. So I moved to postpone to the next meeting.
Is there any discussion? Any objection? It's done. Thank you, Arpal. Thank you, Sharon. Okay, that takes us to number 5, with apologies to Ursula and Ruth for this delay. I had promised to get them started a little sooner.
No problem.
Okay, we're going to number 5, which is a review of the Pacific Affiliates Network, or PAN, FY23 budget and actuals. And Ursula, I guess you have a little... presentation. This, let me just give a little background. This is based on an idea that's been discussed in management meetings and possibly on the PND that, you know, one of the roles of the Finance Committee is once we've approved budgets is to monitor them. And you know, we're supposed to approve budgets prior to the beginning of the fiscal year. And then one of our functions is to monitor them throughout the fiscal year. It hasn't been done in years. This would be the first time we're trying it out. At a meeting, I think it was on Friday, about another subject, Ursula, Julie and I were meeting with Ursula and Ruth, and the vice chair was there, Heather was there, and they gave us a little presentation on how they're doing financially, and we thought, gee, this would make a good intro to this practice of not only getting budgets done before the fiscal year begins, but also reviewing them as the fiscal year goes along. That's how this evolved. From that meeting on Friday, and Ruth and Ursula were kind enough to do a fast turnaround and get us some reports and agree to do this tonight. So with that said, Ursula, the floor is yours.
Okay, thanks. Good evening, everybody. We're speaking to you from Ames, Iowa. And so Ruth is really the expert here, so I'm going to hand this over to her pretty quickly. Just to say that last year when we were proposed our yearly budget for FY23, we had promised that we would evaluate our budget periodically to evaluate whether it was feasible or not for us to carry out the full budget, which meant in particular two special projects that we were working on or were paying for. One is the podcast website hosting service, and the other is the news show that we help fund. And so Ruth and I have periodically reviewed how we were doing, and we found that we're making our payroll, we're making our central services, we're able to pay for our expenses. And so we have found that we were able to do this budget and are coming in not perfectly, but pretty good, and enough that we're comfortable with what we budgeted for this year. So that's a positive thing. We're happy about that. It has not been an easy year. Everybody's worked really hard in our unit, and we've been very, very frugal. But we have found that it worked out pretty much how we expected. We're, slowly closing a deficit gap that was created by Pacifica borrowing $30,000 from us and not returning it. And so bit by bit, we've been working on closing that gap. So having said that, I think, Ruth, why don't you take it from here? Because you're really Ruth Wiedemeyer is our business manager, and she's really our numbers person. You there, Ruth?
Yes. Hi, everybody.
Hi, Ruth. Okay. Thanks for coming.
So,
hi,
sure.
Ruth.
Hi. So the documents I emailed to Paul, I imagine everybody has those. And I'm going to start with...
Ruth, excuse me. Let me just tell you that you sent them to me. I sent them to our Paul. I was using his personal address because you can't post to groups.io. And the committee just got them at the beginning of the meeting. So you'll have to walk us through them because they haven't actually seen them yet. I thank you very much for preparing them, and we'll all look at them later. We might even review it further at the next meeting.
Okay. Well, yeah, I mean, you can, yeah. So let's look at the, first of all, the PDF, the budget. That's our budget for the 2023 fiscal year. And just the numbers to look at right away are the total revenue there. I've got the budget divided into quarters. So the total column is that column on the far right. And then you can see what we have our total revenue and our total expenses at. So that's what we're working with. And then the other two spreadsheets are the budget versus actuals for the first three quarters, for quarters one through three. And I'm going to focus on the cash basis spreadsheet. And as you can see, so the cash basis spreadsheet is for the period October through June 30th. So for the first three quarters.
Point of information. Sure. This is Sharon. Point of information.
Go ahead, Sharon.
Pardon?
We have a question.
Okay.
If you could say the name of the document that you're looking at, because we just got these, so it's hard for me to know which one you're actually talking about.
Okay. The budget I was telling you about is it's the PDF attached.
Right. That one I saw. That one I got.
Okay. And then the spreadsheet that I was talking about is called, just a moment. Oh, I have to bring up my window. Just a minute. Okay, the spreadsheet I was talking about.
Foundation affiliate, radio affiliates, budget versus actuals, FY 2023 cash basis.
Cash basis, yes. Okay.
Got it. Yes.
Let's give everybody a minute to get there.
Thank you.
Beth, could I have point of personal privilege? I don't have the documents that we're supposed to be looking at. I just reviewed my email yet again, and I don't see them anywhere. So if I could someone who has them please forward them to me now? Thanks.
I did forward them to you, Beth, when you asked for them.
I thought that was the minute that you forwarded. I'll go look. Whatever you forwarded, I have. If that's what you sent, then I'm just going to be pleased.
This is Teresa. I will forward them.
Thank you, Teresa. So go ahead, Ruth.
Okay. So let's see, back to the 2023 budget. As you can see, the total revenue and our total expenses from the far right total column is $252,500. So that's our budget. And then the spreadsheet shows the actuals versus the budget for the period October 1 through June 30th, which is quarters 1 through 3. So what I'm trying to say is that first column on the spreadsheet, the total chart, that is that budget total there is for the first three quarters, not for the entire year. That's why I included the whole annual budget, so you can see what the whole annual budget is. So, looking at the total line 14 on that spreadsheet, the total 41,000 affiliation income, we're at 91% of our expected budgeted revenue for the first three quarters. If you want to later go through this and look at the separate quarters, fine, but really, it's just this total thing that I think is the most interest to us right now for an overview, a brief overview. And then our total expenses for the first three quarters, we are at...
Can I ask a question? This is Kim.
Certainly.
Hold on, Kim.
Ruth, go ahead and finish your sentence. Go ahead and finish your sentence, and then Kim will ask her question.
Okay. And then I was just pointing out the total expenditures, which for the first three quarters are at 89% of our budgeted for expenses.
Okay. Go ahead, Kim.
Well, I'm asking a question while we were still sort of – I'm trying to figure out this revenue, because I'm looking – this and I'm looking at what the national office has done, and I'm trying to wrap my head around, the differences. On line 12, column G, is that $9,200? Is that, are those fees from 2022 that came in that first quarter?
That's correct.
Had you put that money in the budget? I don't remember now. I think anticipated some.
No, we didn't. We didn't include past year's revenues in the budget. The revenue budget is based totally on our fees for all the affiliates for 2023. That's what our budget total. If you look at the budget for the entire year, the the affiliation income we have budgeted at $230,000. Now, when I add up all of our affiliate fees for 2023, that number is $236,000. However, you know, I've allowed for some that will possibly remain uncollectible by stations
right.
that, yeah, whatever. So,
right.
but you know, those past year's fees are not, those were not included in the budget, revenue budget.
Right.
And were you done, Kim?
For now, yeah.
Okay.
I'm trying to figure this out line by line while we're
okay.
talking.
I want to make a comment. Who was that?
Sharon, I have a question after you, Logan.
Okay. I just wanted to add to what was being said there. There was a question last year as to whether or not we could allow them. This is a thing that happens every year. They don't get all of their initial budgeted income. Because some stations don't pay, but many of them pay later. Some of them don't pay all, but many of them pay most. And so the question last year was, well, can we make this a budgeted revenue source collecting on last year's what was still due and owing? And I think the decision was made then that we could not do that. But I think when we discuss your budget next time, Ruth and Ursula, you know, since this is a repeated pattern and, you know, we have an idea that you get a lot of that revenue eventually, perhaps we could set an arbitrary number and credit you for that in the next budget.
Okay. Yeah. We'll see how that falls out, I guess.
Yeah.
But no, we did discuss. I recall we discussed past due revenues that we were hoping to collect on in the next fiscal year. But those were not included in our 2023 budget.
That's right. That's right. Okay, please proceed. Sorry to prolong the interruption.
Sharon for the
staff. Oh, I'm sorry. Sharon wanted to speak. Go ahead, Sharon.
Sure. Go ahead, Sharon.
Hi, I just have a question about line 14, just so I understand. I'm looking at line 14, column E, where you said, you know, you're at 90, basically 91%. So is that 91% of what
Sharon,
you did?
Sharon, which document are you looking at, Sharon?
The PAN budget versus
the
actual cash.
Okay.
Versus.
The Excel spreadsheet, yeah.
That's the one you're talking
cash,
about.
Cash basis, right? Cash basis.
Yes.
Okay.
And that
was well, that was the one you were talking about, right, Ruth?
Yes. The cash basis spreadsheet. Yeah.
Okay. So on line 14, column E, where, you know, it's 90.72%, so I'm saying 91%. Is that 91% of what you would have expected at the, you know, three-quarter mark, or 91% of what you would have expected for the full year?
That's 91% of the three-quarter mark. I when I make the budget, because as you can see, the total budgeted amount there is 172.5, whereas
that'd be
column C, line 14. Yeah,
that's
the budgeted amount for the from October to June 30th.
Thanks. That clarified it for me. Thank you.
I should have put the annual budget in a separate column there as well. That's not something I can run. That's not a report I can run. I can, you know, piece that together, and I kind of ran out of time, which is why I have two different things here. But, you know, where you'd have the entire year budget side by side would be helpful, I think.
Understood, and thank you for doing a quick turnaround on this. You know, as I said, we just decided to do this on Friday, and in the future, you know, you would have more time and more notice, and we could hopefully do things like that.
Teresa,
so continue, please. Okay, go ahead, Teresa.
Is it? I'm looking at the budget versus actuals FY 2023 cash basis, and in column S, I only see part of the figures and nothing under percentage of budget. Is that because you couldn't get the complete figures for June because it's only July 13th?
Column F doesn't contain any data.
No, I'm talking about S as in Sierra.
Oh, S, sorry. And sorry, what line?
All of the lines. I don't see complete numbers in column S, and I don't see anything in column T.
Well, that's because the account 41,000 that you see in line 8, 41,000 affiliation income, and then it's broken down into the separate years. We didn't have previous years included in the budget, so that's why there's nothing in there. It's a percent. You know, it's more helpful to look at the total affiliation income, I guess, because we didn't budget previous years' past due revenues.
Okay. All right. So we should just basically concentrate on A through E.
Yeah.
Okay.
A through E. Yeah. Yeah, you can look at the separate quarters if you want, but it's you know we get the fees it's you know kind of we get a lot of them up front, but it's very hard to make an accurate budgeted revenue by month or quarter. It's going to vary.
All right. Thank you.
Sure.
Okay. Before we get any more questions, let's let Ruth finish her presentation. Go ahead, Ruth. Save your question.
Okay. Well, our accounts receivable stands at about $55,000. That includes past due revenues now because they're still in receivable, right? We have we have accounts receivable of $55,000. Of that $55,000, I think only about $5,000 is from previous years. So that's what we still have about $50,000 in 2023 fees to collect, hopefully by the end of September. Our bank balance is currently $26,000, and that's after payroll is taken out. So our expenses run around, well, you can look at the, at the actual in line 55 total expenditures. You can look at that, column G, column L, and column Q, which is total expenditures for the quarter. We average about $19,000 in expenses a month. So with our, with our $26,000 balance and our $50,000 in revenue, we're looking at a little over $75,000. So we've got August and September and half of July to go with, expenses averaging around $19,000 per month. So what I'm trying to say is we are – as long as people get their fees paid, which I stay on a lot, we look to being able to cover our expenses.
Yeah, I think Ruth, we had a pretty big uptick this year in returned contracts, right? That
we did. We went to a new we started I made fillable I started using the e-sign with fillable forms, so basically all we have to do is open it up and you know, type in the info and send it back. So we had a return rate of our contracts of about 97%, which is quite a lot more than, I think it was running around 75% previously. You know, some people, they would have to print it out, download it, print it out, fill it in by hand and scan it, whatever, you know. So we've just, you know, really streamlined that process with the e-sign, and we got a much better return rate. We included this last, when we sent out contracts last year, we also included we were rolling out the fee schedule for the internet technology services. So that agreement and sign up, you know, was included in that contract as well. So we saw a really good increase in the number of stations when they sent back that signed up for IT services. We had budgeted, let's see, what did we budget for IT? We had budgeted $10,000 for IT, and we saw an increase to about $11,500. So we had, you know, we added, you know, quite a few people to our IT services subscribers.
Ruth, we have about seven more minutes in this item, or Ruth and Ursula, I should say. Do you want to continue your report, or would you like to take some more questions?
I'll take questions. I've kind of given you the overall, I guess. And Ursula, if there's something you'd like me to speak about specifically, please just jump in and let me know.
Yeah, I think the only thing I would add, just in terms, since we're talking about income, that we pretty much met our goals in terms of donations, and
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah. We had, we call that our direct support. We had that budgeted at $12,500. So our actual is, our actual is $10,573. So we're almost there. And we do have another grant of, usually it's about $2,000 that we expect to get before the end of the fiscal year. And that would be with the Wave Farm.
Oh, okay.
The stack.
Anything
that's
further?
To me. I didn't know that.
anything further from Ruth and Ursula before we go to questions?
Teresa for the stack.
Are you done? I hear you, Teresa. I was going to. Okay, I'll wait till I'll wait. I'll let you go ahead. Go ahead, Teresa. I haven't heard from Ruth or Ursula. Are you guys done with your overall?
Yeah, I'm happy to take questions or to talk about whatever Ursula wants to talk about.
Very good.
And
okay, so Teresa,
you have one comment too.
Why don't you make a comment? Go ahead and do that.
Okay. Well, I had a couple. Our bank account saw two withdrawals, which I did not know what they were. They were in the amount of approximately $320, $350. These came in
dollars?
Two different months. Yes. In November and then in March, and had no idea what they were. So I, you know, spoke with a bank rep who said that they were likely withdrawals taken in, you know, unauthorized on our part, but which the credit card company, the Bank of America credit card company, takes if the minimum balance has not been paid. That was his best guess what those were. Now, we do not have a Bank of America credit card. A little over 2 years ago, February 2 years ago, we got a card with Citizens, our own, you know, credit card. So, but it appears that Ursula's name is still on that account, And, you know, if the minimum payment isn't made, they're at some point they're going to take that out of the bank account. And that's, I believe, what happened. So it was an unpaid minimum payment that came out of our checking account.
Just to explain that, we used to share a credit card with Pacifica National, with the executive director's office and I think Otis as well too. And everybody had different accounts, but it was the same credit card. And
yes,
we went through a long process of trying to separate that out because we didn't have any access to information about it. And eventually we were given our own credit card, but it seems that other credit card is apparently still, I don't know if it's still active, but the balance does not seem to have been paid.
That's correct. So after a time when the balance isn't paid, they're going to take the minimum payment due out of, you know, well, it was the network's checking account. That was what the rep thought it was.
Right.
I happen to know the executive director was working on consolidating accounts, and Stephanie, I'm sure you're taking notes on this, and hopefully we'll get to the bottom of that, and that'll be sorted out.
Yeah.
Okay.
We always paid our part of it.
Both
we probably paid more than our part of it because we had to estimate how much to send to Pacifica National for our part. So I don't.
Yeah, we weren't getting statements.
Yes, that was the problem. I remember that was the year two. You weren't getting the statements, and they weren't forthcoming from the national office, and that was a problem. Stephanie was trying to say something. Go ahead, Stephanie.
We don't have access to that card as well, but Markeisha was able to get some statement for that. The card doesn't appear to be active, but we have gone, you know, to make sure with Bank of America that card is canceled. Just
good.
In case there is one floating around there somewhere. And now it's just a matter of paying down the balance that is still on that card.
And there's no question that any balance on that card was, you know, occurred after it should no longer have been used, right? Well, we can talk about that later. We'll talk about that in another forum. So I wanted to say one quick thing, but did anybody else have any quick questions? Would anyone like to extend time? We are at time for this segment.
Mick Fadden to the stack. Just put me in a couple other people
like
around the stack.
Extend time? McFadden, would you like to extend time?
Yes, move to extend time.
How much?
15 minutes.
Thank you. Is there any discussion? Any objection? Hearing none, we're good. Okay, and I apologize, McFadden. Was there anybody else waiting on the stack? I've forgotten. Was there anybody on the stack waiting before? Teresa, I'm so sorry. Go ahead, Teresa.
And Kim.
I don't remember you, Kim, but I'll give it to you.
And I thought Beth was too, but
Beth. Okay, well.
Thanks anyway.
Okay, my apologies. So let's start with Teresa. Teresa, are you muted?
Thank you very much for the presentation. And especially at such late time, under so quickly. Explain to me again the difference between the Internet Technology Services subscription and direct public support. And tell me a little bit about the grant.
Okay.
The grant.
Go ahead. I'll talk about the IT services, and you can talk about the direct support.
Sure, go ahead, Ursula.
So the IT services is a service that people are buying from us, And this was a technology that Otis has developed over the last, I don't know, 15 years, actually, bit by bit, which provides a streaming. Well, it's a suite of services that includes streaming, archiving the radio station on your website, and reporting to the Sound Exchange, and a bunch of other bells and whistles that Otis keeps generating. So that's it also creates, program grids for your website. It's various, services that are needed for reporting and for archiving and streaming your services. So that's what the IT services are. That people pay extra for that. We have a relatively low fee for affiliates, but the service is an extra service that they pay for. And Ruth, why don't you talk about the other one?
Okay. So I don't know if it's the best. It's called in the budget account 44,000 direct public support. We have that broken down into grants and donations. So the grants we've been receiving regularly, like twice a year, are programming grants from I can't remember the station. It's the way.
I don't think you should. Wouldn't mention. Yeah.
Oh, fine.
But
okay.
There is one affiliate that's regular grants.
Yeah, they're programming grants.
Yeah.
And then your individual business donation are the individual fees that each station pays for your services in general, correct?
No. Go ahead, Ursula.
Those are donations from individuals.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Yeah, the fees are all in either affiliation income, or the internet technology subscriptions. Those are the fees. Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, Kim.
Sorry.
Must be muted.
Well, I'm at this, but I think that it's not, it's different than what the consolidated numbers are. Now, I've only just, but the numbers seem to be different. And
Kim, can you hear me?
Are you referring
Kim,
to the
on,
Great Plains?
Hold on, please.
Oh, sorry.
Please hold on.
Okay.
Kim, can you hear me?
What?
Your voice is, I don't know if it's my system. It's on my end, or it seems like your voice is breaking up a little bit. I'm wondering if you can get closer to your microphone.
Can I what?
I'm not hearing you very well. I'm not sure if it's just me or if it's you're not close enough to the microphone or what.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
Yes, much better.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. I'm not seeing the number, I've only had cursory looks while you're talking, so it's not determinative or definitive. Many numbers are different than national offices, and I'd kind of like them to be the same.
I'd like them to be the same too. The thing is that we don't use Great Plains. We use QuickBooks. There has really not been, I send my reports from my QuickBooks reports. I don't know how our account was set up with Great Plains, how what accounts were used. Our numbers don't jive with Great Plains, and I don't know because I didn't set up our accounts on Great Plains. It's a different system.
I will say though, this is Ursula, that both Stephanie and Markeisha took a lot of time to go through this with us because we also asked that question about why do the numbers look different? And they spent a great deal of time with us going through it with a fine-tooth comb, and everything was pretty well reconciled, right, Ruth? I mean, we did reconcile the numbers after, you know, talking through those differences in terms of bookkeeping. Is that how you remember it, Stephanie and Ruth?
I do remember that they spent a lot of time with us on it, yes. But
yeah.
I'm sorry, that's all I remember.
Stephanie, do you want to respond to that?
Yes, at the time they were reconciled. QuickBooks does not talk to Great Plains, so we were trying to determine, and we actually have somebody that's trying to help us in getting the way that we can make it much easier for QuickBooks to be able to talk to Great Plains. But so far, we haven't had success with that.
I'm just going to add that when we had NETA, we had the same problem at WBAI. Bertha was using QuickBooks, and there were certain things that QuickBooks that didn't account for, or that Great Plains treated differently for. And there were certain things that the national office did that the local unit didn't do, like some, pension payments was one. There were others, maybe one or two others, that were not included in the local books, but were included in the national books because the national does that. So I'm pretty sure those were probably the sorts of things that caused the discrepancy. But Kim, by all means, drill down into that and we can look further into it, perhaps at the next meeting when everybody's had a chance to go over this.
Can I say one more thing?
Please.
In the future, it would be more helpful to me to have it monthly and not quarterly.
Okay. I do create our budget on a monthly basis, and the reports I send to national office are monthly. I consolidated these into quarters specifically just for this meeting for ease of looking at it rather than having 9 months on a big spreadsheet. It just kind of simplified the visual.
Well, not for me. If I can see the monthlies, I'd be much happier, Ruth. If I can get the monthly, great. Yeah, I would really appreciate that. Because otherwise, I have to split them up myself, you know, and try and figure out.
No, I'll just run the monthly report, budget
great.
Versus actuals, and make sure you get it.
Thank you.
Yeah, and that's going to depend on how much else we have to do and how often we go back to this. As I said, this is the first time in years that we have reviewed how a station or a unit is keeping up with its budget, you know, in terms of its actuals. So, I think we can come back to it next week. That's a good thing. When the next time we'll be coming back to the PAN and asking them to do this again is unclear to me because – in theory, we're going to have a lot of budgets to look at before the beginning of the next fiscal year, when we're still hoping to get all of the budgets recommended to the PMB for approval, you know, way before the beginning of the fiscal year, the next fiscal year. Okay, who was next on the stack? We had, I think it was McFadden.
Thanks. I don't know if anybody noticed when I got on, I was on a little bit late. I don't know if you took roll call. I wanted to thank for the presentation. I had one comment. I think that the way it's been displayed here in quarterly is actually pretty helpful for just seeing the overall picture. And it does all fit on my little laptop screen. I can read the numbers. If we had it all broken down like this, you know, by month, unless you didn't want to do the all the extra lines, then it would be impossible for me to read. Next thing is this is just kind of a formatting. Just trying to double check. I noticed under you have the way you've indented the column A, you have revenue, and then you have all the revenues. But subscription, I assume, is not a major section. It's just another revenue stream, the one line 15. I just didn't know why it was tabbed the way it was, just in that column A.
Why line
is it the same?
You mean the line 15, the direct public support account?
Line 15, this is in the spreadsheet, the Excel spreadsheet for cash basis.
Right.
So line 15, right. Column A says subscription. It's just indented at the same indent as revenue on mine, and I just didn't know if that was a typo because it ends up getting added in. It's just you separated out that line. It made it look like it was some other kind of high level. Like revenue is a high level. Is subscription containing all the things below it? It doesn't seem to include, you know, that are indented relative to it. You know what I'm talking about?
Well, line 15 is the direct public support account. Line 14 is the Internet Technology Services subscription. Is that the line you're referring to?
On mine, it says line 15 says subscription. Is nobody else see that? And then line 16 is 44,000 direct public support.
Oh, I guess you're a line off of mine then for some reason. And so your question was about the account 42,000 Internet Technology Services subscription, correct?
I'm just asking about the, you know, so as I go down, there's a total 41,000 affiliate income, okay? The next line, that was line 14 on mine. The next line,
okay.
Number 15, says subscription.
Oh.
And then the next one, the line 16, says 44,000 direct public support.
Right. The subscription line should say Internet Technology Services subscription.
Okay. I mean,
perhaps if you extend that column.
Yes, I see it. That's what it shows on mine, Jane. So maybe you need to extend
to be able to get it all on the page.
Yeah.
I had
the total affiliation income, just to clarify, the total affiliation income, that is the affiliate fees. And then the optional IT services, that is account 42,000.
Okay. My column A was just compressed and it didn't. That avoids the confusion I was going to add is where does the Internet Technology Services appear? So, okay, got it. Now my other question is answered. Sorry about that. I see it now.
That was a good question.
Well, it just came up in a weird format. So, okay, thanks.
Sure.
Thank you, McFadden. I'm going to take a quick question or a comment, and then we're at time for this item unless anybody wants to extend. Why don't we do that first? Does anyone wish to extend? I'm going to make a very brief comment and then thank our guests. But if anyone else has more, we need to extend. Hearing none, I'll go ahead with my comment. I just want to remind everyone that this was, I think, the first budget we passed for fiscal year 23. It was a deficit budget. The Pacific Affiliates Network thought that they could make it up during the year, and apparently they're doing pretty good at that. And we promised that we would monitor it and that they would also, of course, monitor it and let us know how they were doing. And even though we've had some of that privately, you know, this is a public viewing of all of that. And so I think it worked out pretty well. You know, we have another quarter to go, and we'll see how that goes. But I want to congratulate the Pacifica Affiliates Network. Perhaps you should not say too often in public how much your balance is in your checking account.
Oh, right. Okay.
And,
I'm sorry. I was just reporting that to the board at KHOI.
yeah. you get the joke. I appreciate that. And I do want to thank you. And again, this came up quickly at a meeting on Friday for another purpose. And you guys did a very quick turnaround. And I appreciate that. We will further review the documents that you sent us. And maybe if we need you to come back, you will have found this not to be so onerous that you might not be willing to come back for a brief Q&A. Would that be okay?
Absolutely.
This is like when you're on air and you ask your guest if they'll come back, how's he going to say no, right? but, yeah, so I really thank you. I think you did a great job, and you are doing a good job, I think, with your unit, and that's what's most important. So having said thank all you. Of that, I want to thank you guys for coming. I did promise you you'd go home a little sooner than this, but I think, you know, I said 9:30 at the latest. So we did pretty well, and thank you very much.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure.
You're welcome.
Good night,
everybody. Good night.